Vimes?" said the King.
Nothing, I think," said Vimes absently.
Two handshakes, and very quietly, smiling, the King had turned the customs of the dwarfs upside down. And so gently, too, that they'd spend years arguing about it.
"Sam," snapped Sybil.
"Well, then, I shall give something to your descendants," said the King, apparently unperturbed.
A long, flat box was brought to him. He opened it to reveal a dwarf axe, the new metal glinting on its nest of black cloth.
"This will become, in time, the axe of someone's grandfather," said the King. "And no doubt over the years it will need a new handle or a new blade, and over the centuries the shape will change in line with fashion, but it will always be, in every detail and respect, the axe I give you today. And because it'll change with the times, it'll always be sharp. There's a grain of truth in that, see? So nice to have met you. Do enjoy your journey home, Your Excellency."
The four were silent in the coach back to the embassy. Then Cheery said,
"The King said..."
"I heard," said Vimes.
"That was as good as saying that he is a "Things are going to change," said Lady Sybil. "That's what the King was saying."
"I never shook hands wid no king before," said Detritus. "No dwarf either come to dat."
"You shook hands with me once," said Cheery.
"Watchmen don't count," said Detritus firmly. "Watchmen is watchmen."
"I wonder if it'll change anything," said Lady Sybil.
Vimes stared out of the window. It had probably make people feel good, he thought. But trolls and dwarfs had been fighting for centuries. Ending that sort of thing took more than a handshake. It was just a symbol. On the other hand, the world wasn't moved by heroes or villains or even by policemen. It might as well be moved by symbols. All he knew was that you couldn't hope to try for the big stuff, like world peace and happiness, but you might just about be able to achieve some tiny deed that would make the world, in a small way, a better place. Like shooting someone.
"I forgot to say that I thought it was very kind of you, Cheery," said Lady Sybil, "yesterday, when you comforted Dee."
"She would have had me killed by the werewolves," said Vimes.
He felt this was a point worth making.
"Yes, of course, but it was kind anyway," said Sybil.
Cheery looked at her feet, avoiding Sybil's gaze. Then she coughed nervously and pulled a small piece of paper out of her sleeve, which she handed wordlessly to Vimes. He unfolded it.
"She gave you these names," he said. "Some of these are very senior dwarfs in Ankh-Morpork." "Yes, sir," said Cheery. She coughed again. "I knew she wanted someone to talk to, and I suggested a few things she might like to talk about. Sorry, Lady Sybil, it's very hard to stop being a copper." "I worked that one out a long time ago," said Sybil.
"You know," said Vimes to break the silence, "if we leave at first light tomorrow, we could be through the pass before sundown."
And it was a comfortable night, somewhere in the depths of the feather mattress. Vimes awoke a couple of times and thought he could hear voices. Then he sank back into the softness and dreamt of warm snow. He was shaken awake by Detritus.
"It's getting light, sir."
"Hmm?"
"And there's a Igor and a young man out in the hall," said Detritus. "He got a big jar full of noses and a rabbit covered in ears."
Vimes tried to get back to sleep. Then he sat bolt upright. "What?"
"It's all covered in ears, sir."
"You mean one of those rabbits with big floppy ears?"
"You better come and see this rabbit," sniffed the troll.
Vimes left Sybil wallowing in sleep, pulled on his dressing gown and pattered barefoot down to the freezing hall. An Igor was waiting anxiously in the middle of the floor. Vimes was getting the hang of Igor recognition. The key was in the pattern of scars, and this was a new one. He was with a much younger man, probably barely out of his teens, at least in places, but already the scars and stitching indicated that relentless urge towards self-improvement that was the hallmark of a good Igor. They just never seemed to be able to get the eyes level.
"Your Excellency?"
"You're Igor, right?"
"Amazing guess, sir. We haven't met before, but I work for Dr. Thalmick on the other side of the mountain, and this is my son, Igor."
He smacked the young man around the back of his head.
"Say hello to His Grace, Igor."
"I don't believe in the peerage," said young Igor sulkily. nor shall I call any man master.
Fee, said his